You know, I was listening to Ronnie there. Thanks a lot, Ron, for your study in Revelation. Quite a difficult book. Our text this morning is Ephesians 1, 1 through 9. And so maybe we can read that. What I'm going to attempt to do is I'm going to take each verse from Ephesians 1, actually 3 through 9, and I'm going to try to bring out a fuller Greek meaning, possibly. And my actual title for this message and for messages to follow, if the Lord is willing, and if I'm still called to do this, is Astounding Promises to Usward. To Usward, that is the body of his fullness, the fullness in Christ. And so let's read Ephesians 1, 1 through 9. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated or having foreordained us unto the adoption of sons. And I'm going to just briefly stop there and say this, that is a crime. It is a literal crime, and it's a crime of ignorance that the word children should be in there, because we have a sonship adoption. And it has nothing to do with being a child of God. There are children of God, there are babes in Christ, and there's full-grown sons of God. And so this should be sons of God, because we have a calling to sonship. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants it to be. Technon is the Greek word for children, and this is huiotheseon, which is sonship adoption. There are actually three sonship adoptions in the Word of God. And what the reason I get on this is because in order for us to understand our calling in the heavenlies in Christ, we have to understand that we're adopted sons. We have to understand that this is not the milk of the Word. This is the meat of the Word. This is as meaty as I think a human being can get in the knowledge of God. And so when we read the Scriptures, we should understand. We should strike that out. Children, strike that out. Okay, so I'm going to stop going on about that. And it further goes on to say, by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence or discretion, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. And this is our dear Heavenly Father pouring out things upon us, just pouring his blessings out upon the body of Christ, in which Christ is head, if I can put the title that way, pouring his blessings out upon us. That's, I believe, what we should be gleaning from the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. These two books are the pinnacle of God's revealing such astounding things to human beings. These are I would imagine the most spiritually powerful books in the Scriptures towards human beings. You know, if I'm wrong about that, as Ron said, you can, you know, agree with that or not agree with it. And so I'm calling this lesson Astounding Promises to Usward. I use this title because the promises contained in this scripture to us words as Christ's body of which he is head are totally astounding to me. And much more mind-boggling is the fact that these are the beginning. These are the beginning verses of the Father's promises to us. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use the format this morning, and I'm going to take each verse from Ephesians 1:3 to Ephesians 1:9, and I'm going to take the verse in the King James Version in your companion Bibles, and I'm going to analyze it and expound the Koine Greek translation, in particularly in some of the words out of each of these verses. And the purpose of this is to bring out a possible further meaning of what God the Holy Spirit would have us to know and would have us to love. And I think that we should take it from one that doesn't walk in the power of this thinking every day. That's me. I think that we should be walking in the power of this reality, because this is more of a reality than anything else on this planet for us. At the end of each verse of Ephesians that we go through, I'm going to, you know, put forth this fuller meaning that we found. And I'm going to say that may the Lord bless this study and use it as he sees fit, that it might be useful to him or not, according to his purposes, and that it might be edification to you folks. Okay, verse 3, let's look at it. And I can possibly say that this might be technical, but I suppose if we study the Word of God, if we study the Greek, it's going to come down to technicalities if we get into the Greek. And so it might be technical, but I really pray that your hearts might glean some great things from this. Not that I'm great or anything like that, but that this word is great. Okay, so we're going to take blessed be. Okay, here we go. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, this verse is, thanks Tony, this verse is astounding in itself. There's no doubt about it. Blessed be. This is a translation of the Greek form oulagetas, which comes from two Koine Greek roots meaning to speak well of. It comes down to our English in the form of to eulogize, a eulogy. When somebody speaks a eulogy of somebody, they're giving a good message, speaking well of somebody, especially when somebody dies. Well, oulagetas can actually mean praise. Praise be. This is found in, oulagetas is found in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Let's look at that. Just to make a point. The point that I'm going to try to make here is that the scriptures have the Greek has different forms for the word praise, and it has different forms for the word blessed. But I'm going to say this, that I believe that, you know, blessed be the God and Father. Yes, that's great, but I'm going to say that it might be better to say, praise be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because of what's coming after. Because of what's coming after. Our dear Heavenly Father, if we know what He's given to us in His Son, He should be praised. Praise be to you, Father. And this is what the start of what's coming after for us. And so if we turn to 2 Corinthians 1:3, it said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And this is the same Greek form, oulagetas, which is translated here blessed, but it could mean praise be. Praise be God to God the Father. And it goes on to say, has blessed us. Has blessed us is a translation of the Koine Greek form, oulagesas, Hamas. Okay, and again, this might seem technical, but if you get into this, if you get into the Greek, and there's many helps to get into the Greek, this is what you're going to find. This isn't anything that I am making up whatsoever. In the original, it's ulegesas humas, and this means let me step back and say that I pray that none of Mike's ideas come into what he is speaking forth here. I don't want any of my ideas or any of my thoughts or any of my interpretations to come into what I'm speaking forth whatsoever, and I really mean this. I really mean that. What ulegesas hamas means is that has once and forever poured out benefactions or gifts or bounty upon us. Okay, so it says in the English that blessed be God the Father. Oh no, I'm in 2 Corinthians again. Hold on, I gotta go back to Ephesians 1. Sorry about that. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Okay, and what I'm trying to bring out here in the Greek, has once and forever poured out gifts or bounty upon us. Okay, so here's the Father. We're praising the Father. And why are we praising the Father? And he's our Father in the heavenlies. And what he's doing is he's pouring out bounty upon us. And this term, ulegesas hamas, and here's a little Greek aside, is in the aorist tense. Okay, in the aorist tense. Okay, and this is a little bit of a Greek aside now. Here we go. Sidebar, Greek. The aorist tense means an action that has been said. It's an action. Bang. The Father has done this. Bang. In this sense, it's something that he did in the past. And there is something that I'm going to explain now further into the Greek, just for a sidebar. When you get into the Greek, there are major tenses in the Greek, 7 of them. Present tense, imperfect tense, future tense, aorist tense, perfect tense. Oh, wait a minute. Present tense, imperfect tense, future tense, aorist tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense, and future perfect tense. Okay, so, and there is something in the Greek called aspect, okay? And what that is each one of these verb forms has what's called an aspect to it. Okay, what's aspect, you say? Well, aspect, there's 2 forms of aspect, and you could say this is crazy, Mike. This is what it is. Aspect is this, is that aspect, there's either perfective aspect or imperfective aspect. And what perfective aspect is this, and the 2 aspects that I'm just going to explain to you for a reason is this, is that perfective aspect, which has to do with some of these verb forms, has to do, this is it. Let's say we're looking at a parade. And let's say we're in a helicopter looking at the parade, or let's say we're on a street corner looking at the parade. And in the Greek, those are the 2 major aspects. From a helicopter, you're looking at the parade as a whole. From the street corner, you're looking at a specific part of the parade. You cannot see the parade as a whole. And so each verb tense, like I said, present, imperfect, future, aorist, has an aspect associated with it. While the aorist tense has the perfective aspect associated with it, which means that these bountiful blessings are looked at in totality as a whole rather than a specific one. The Holy Spirit wants us to understand that this is the total bounty of what the Father has given us, if that makes sense to you. I think that is true. I believe that to be true in the Greek. Okay, so we learned a little bit about aspect, and we learned a little bit about the aorist tense. And so the Father bore pouring out once and forever his bounty upon us. This is what is happening in verse 3. And this ulagesas, hamas, has to do with the Father doing well for us. The Father doing well for us. With all spiritual blessings. All right, so this is a Greek translation of the Greek forms, and passe ulagia pneuma tike. All right, that's what it is. This statement may be more glorious than we may or can even realize in our present human state. How do we understand a spiritual blessing in this life? Have we understood any spiritual blessings here in this life? Well, I can say, yeah. Yeah, of course we have. Have we understood all spiritual blessings in the super heavenlies in Christ? Not even close. Not even close. And so a spiritual blessing is apart from the flesh. But if we truly know our calling, we have understood a spiritual blessing. And if we understand our calling, it is a blessing that is not of the flesh whatsoever. Whatsoever. I don't know if you can remember what you were like if you ever walked without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of Christ. I do. And I walked in darkness. And then the Lord came along, and he grabbed me out of this world, and he provided the most fantastic calling to any human being on earth to me. And I understand it, and I praise the Lord that I do. And it's a spiritual blessing. I can remember what I was like walking around in the flesh in darkness. My mind could not even come close to understanding what one nit and tittle of what this calling means. I remember that when I came to the Lord, that when he chose me, actually I came to the Lord with six guys laying their hands on me. I had no clue about what was going on whatsoever. And from there, I ended up going to conferences a little time forward. I went to conferences of the mystery. So the Lord took me through things very quickly. Okay? So if we look at all spiritual blessings is the Greek form passe, which means everything belonging to its kind. The whole and the entirety of. And so if we get the gist of this, if we have a glimpse of what a spiritual blessing is, and then we know that our dear Heavenly Father in His Son is giving us all, passe, which means everything belonging to its kind, everything, the whole, the entirety of every spiritual blessing the Father has to give. And then if we try in our puny brains to understand who he is and to understand who the Lord is, which I don't know how possible that is, but then you'd have to start looking at creation. You'd have to start looking at the Word of God. You'd have to start looking at the universe and all of its workings, and then you might start getting a little glimpse of who they are. And so the Father is offering everything that he has spiritually in his Son at his right hand. And so what I'm trying to point out is I'm trying to point out the utter richness of what the Father has for us. Spiritual blessings is a translation of the Greek forms ulagetas, ulagia, I'm sorry. It's a noun form. Ulagias, pumatakik. Pneuma tike. And there are some Bible scholars that when We say the word pneuma, right? Well, there are Bible scholars that believe that the pi should be pronounced. That is, instead of pneuma, it should be pneuma. And so, I know that Eddie the Greek, that was one in our conferences that was one of the original guys pushing the Greek, and he would pronounce it pneuma. Okay, so spiritual blessings is a translation of eulogia pneumatike. It should be definitely understood that the blessings, these blessings, are a product of what is known as the divine spirit. Okay, the divine spirit. And so now we're going to enter into okay, I'll go on from here. Sorry. The English word all comes to us from the Koine Greek passe, which means total, the whole of, every kind of. The Father has bestowed upon us and His Son everything in its fullest extent spiritually that He has to offer. Pneumatike is the Koine form translated spiritual in our verse. It's an adjective which describes the noun eulogia, which are gifts and benefits associated with with pneumatikeia, meaning specifically divine benefits. That is divine in nature, proceeding from the Holy Spirit. It is a working of the Holy Spirit. For example, if we turn to Ephesians 1:17, and we'll do that, we will read Ephesians 1:17, and it reads that the God and Father of our Lord, the God of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And the Greek form for spirit here is pneuma alone. And what this is this is an operation of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to make the statement that when we study the word pneuma, we should be very careful in how we translate this form and what it's associated with. For example, if we turn to Ephesians 1, spirit here is the Greek form pneuma alone, and it's describing the operation of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be imparted with wisdom and knowledge of the Almighty concerning our calling through our fleshly nature whatsoever. And so I believe God the Holy Spirit, who is God? God the Holy Spirit, if I can say this without trembling, is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And so God the Holy Spirit has operations that He performs, and this is certainly one of them. And this is certainly one that He has performed on us and in us. Certainly, if we know our calling. But if we study the word pneuma, we also shall find these particular things. And this is just a small list of what you would find. You would find that pneuma is associated with the animating life principle. Pneuma, that spirit which gives life. You'll find that pneuma is associated with the movement of air on the planet, H2O. Or no, that's water, sorry, O2. Like when we're breathing, pneuma, breath. Pneuma is associated with part of the human personality, the spirit of man. Pneuma is a spirit that is said in the scriptures to be not able to be perceived by the human senses. This might have to do with wicked spiritualism. Pneuma has to do with God as being a controlling influence. You'll find that there is a phrase or phrases called or said the Spirit of God. And also there is one of the persons of the Godhead with which Pneuma is associated, God the Holy Spirit. The phrase in heavenly places is a phrase of uttermost importance to our calling. Some people have belittled this phrase, saying that we make much more about it than it, we make much more about it than what's in the scriptures. The phrase en tois epuranios is the translation in the English, in heavenly places. By the way, the word places is not in the original, so it is in the heavenlies. And it literally means in the upon heavens. Well, where is God the Father, and where is our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus after his resurrection? Is he within the ice that Ron talks about, or is he beyond the ice? Are they in the ice? Are they in the atmosphere? Are they in the clouds of the world? Are they between the ice and the earth, or are they beyond the ice and the earth? Well, they're beyond the ice and the earth. They're en tois epuranios. They're in the upon heavens. They're in the abode that is above heavenly regions. They're in what some have translated in the super heavenlies. And so, all of what has gone before us that the Father has given out to us, all of our bounty, all of our spiritual blessings in his Son are in the abode, which is upon, above, heavenly regions, or it is in the super heavenlies. And how in this world can we understand that? Well, we can't. Pardon me. Our limited brains, I think that if Almighty God started allowing us, revealing such knowledge to us, I don't think our human brains could handle it. And, you know, we might literally not be able to handle it. But we have the earnest through the Holy Spirit. And so we believe it because God has said it in his word. The spiritual understanding of this phrase supplies the hallmark and the very superstructure of the body of the fullness of Christ of which he is head. It is. It is because in the super heavenlies, or in the abode which is upon all heavens, is where our calling has its fruition. Be careful of so-called Acts 28 right division websites that downplay the importance and the uniqueness of this astounding superstructure in the book of Ephesians. There are Acts 28 right division websites. Oh, and by the way, Ronnie's website is not one of them. TFT is not one of them, said with tongue in cheek. Not at all. They produce the ultimate truth, truth for today. But there are some websites out there, Acts 28, that are producing some very deceitful things that are below the surface, let's just say. I'm not coming down on anybody, but I think, you know, if we're the bullseye of calling, Satan is going to hate us the most. He's going to try to belittle us. He's going to try to destroy us. He's going to try to water down our calling, make us believe that it is what it is. He's going to try to make us believe that it isn't what it truly is. The uniqueness of this phrase, en tois epiraneois, is found, as we know, five times in the book of Ephesians, in the New Testament book of one of the greatest offerings, the greatest offerings that a human being could ever have in the Almighty God. And so, it is crucial for us to understand this phrase. Crucial. It's for us to understand this phrase and what is around it, the truth around it, in the scripture. And so, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at each occurrence of en tois epiraneois in the abode, which is above all heavens, in the super heavenlies, in the upon the heavens. And, if we consider other callings in scriptures, if we consider it, callings to the kingdom, callings to the New Jerusalem, callings to be, a calling to be guests to the wedding. And then we know that our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus is going to appear personally on this planet. But to understand that we are going to be manifested in Him beyond the ice, in Him at the right hand of God, how in the world could anybody not think that that is beyond imagination and beyond and so absolutely stunning? How can somebody not understand that? Well, it takes spiritual understanding. And so that is the gift. That is our spiritual gift. To even understand it is something that we should be jumping for joy, praising our dear Heavenly Father. And you know, I don't do it. I'm guilty as much as anybody. I'm on the lower rung of the ladder with the Apostle Paul as far as being the least. But I know that if I'm a part of this calling, in my feeble mind, Mike says, I'll take it. That's what I say. I'll take it, Lord. And so we're going to look at, hopefully, in the last few minutes, Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 1:20, Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 3:10, and Ephesians 6:12. So let's look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is a unique sphere of blessing. A unique sphere of blessing. It is not the New Jerusalem. It is not the kingdom on earth. It is not the millennial kingdom. It is not the wedding of the bride and Christ. It is not being guests at the wedding at all. It's far above all things beyond the ice in Christ at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ, this power, resurrection power, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the abode, which is far above all heavens. Where is Christ today? Beyond the ice, in the abode, which is far above all heavens at the right hand of the Father. We are associated and we are the fullness of that one, the blessed Son of God. How can we understand that? Well, we can't. We can, how can we understand the totality? We have a glimpse. We have an earnest. We have a pinhead. We have a pinhead of understanding. But this is given to us through God the Holy Spirit. But we have this earnest, and we know that it's true. And we believe it because it's given us through God the Holy Spirit. We are in a unique association with Christ Jesus our head. It's a unique association in the scriptures. We have a unique sphere of blessing. we have a unique association with the beloved Son of God. Again, this is pointing out this superstructure, entois epuranios. In Ephesians 2:6 we read, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, in the super heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. This is a resurrection that's unique. We are going to be manifested there in Christ when he's manifested, and finally he becomes visible to principalities and powers in heavenly places. This is a unique resurrection. We have a unique sphere of blessing. We have a unique association with the Son of God. We have resurrection. And if we turn to Ephesians 3:10, and it just keeps on going, as I put forth, it just keeps on going as far as understanding and our blessings being members of his body. And if we turn to Ephesians 3:10, and this is just an overview, by the way. I'm not reading a lot of scriptures in between these. And Paul talks in Ephesians 3 that we should enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery in verse 9. And I truly believe that that means to enlighten. We can't make anybody do anything. And I don't believe that should be fellowship. I believe it should be the dispensation to enlighten all as to what is the truth of the dispensation of the mystery. I'm dead set against that, not against it. I'm dead set against translating it that way. And in verse 10, it says, to the intent that now, okay, so now we have to decide, if now, it goes on to say, now unto principalities and powers beyond the ice, in heavenly places, might be made known by us the manifold wisdom of God. We have to decide if this is occurring now, or, well, I suppose you could say, I don't have to decide anything, Mike. Well, maybe you do. I think I have to. And so I have to decide, no matter what I understand, right? I mean, you could say, well, no, Mike, this can't be happening now because we're here in the flesh, and, you know, we have to wait until this flesh perishes for us to be a witness to anybody, anything. Well, is that true? I, Mike, do not think so. I do not think so. As well as our humbled body of humility can be instilled with the knowledge of the mystery through God the Holy Spirit, I think that we can be witnesses of principalities and powers in the abode which is upon all heavens that haven't fallen. I think that, and you could say, well, you know, you're stretching it, Mike. These principalities and powers cannot view this planet. Well, then you'd have to go on and say, well, I don't know about that, because wicked principalities and powers are working on us on this planet. Satan is working on us on this planet, and principalities and powers that have fallen in him are working on us on this planet. So my mind says, well, if principalities and powers of Satan are working on us, how is it that principalities and powers that haven't fallen can't view us and the manifold wisdom of God that is being wrought in us? How can they not view us? Okay, so that's my argument. Whether I'm right or wrong, you know, maybe I am stretching this. The manifold wisdom of God is not going to be witnessed by principalities and powers until we're manifested in glory. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't think it is true that we have to die in the flesh for that heavenly principalities and powers that haven't fallen us are witnessing the manifold wisdom of God through us. I don't believe that we have to die first. And so why are we here? Because according to Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers that are in the super heavenlies, that the manifold wisdom of God might be known through us. By the way, this is a unique purpose. This is a unique purpose. So we have a unique sphere of blessing. We have a unique association with Christ our head. We have a unique resurrection. And we have a unique purpose. All being brought out by en tois epiraneois. And what surrounds what I'm calling the superstructure of our calling. The final reference to en tois epiraneois is found in Ephesians 6:12. And we've covered this a number of times. I believe myself that a figure of speech is at work here. And it states, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," and I believe this to be the proper translation, "and not against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world." And that would make sense if we piece it together with Ephesians 3:10. Because Ephesians 3:10 talks about blessed heavenly principalities and powers. And Ephesians 6:12 speaks about fallen principalities and powers. Fallen principalities and powers are not in the super heavenlies. Unfallen principalities and powers are in the super heavenlies. And so we don't war against fallen principalities and powers in a place that they're fallen from. And so, we wrestle not against flesh and blood and not against spiritual wickedness in the abode which is far above all heavens, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. And Ephesians 2 tells us that Satan is the prince and power of the air. And he's not a prince and power of dwelling in the super heavenlies. And so we have a unique sphere of blessing. We have a unique association with our head, Christ Jesus. We have a unique resurrection. We have a unique purpose. And we have a unique warfare. And so, I'm going to end with translating verse 3. And that is as far as we're going to get. And so, I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this particular study. You know, but we got verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 to go. And I just pray that we can look at these to bring out the further riches of our calling, for all riches are found in the Godhead, as we know. And so, I may translate verse 3 as, "May the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus be praised." Why? "The one who has once and forever poured out or bestowed upon us benefits, a bounty upon us in the sphere of or in the environment of every possible divine spiritual blessing," because that's where these benefits or in the environment in which they're being poured out, in the abode which is above all heavens, in Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is at the right hand of the Father in the super heavenlies. And so, I thank you for being here. I hope that this was edifying to you, and I hope that that I can make further points of our calling, and I hope that all of us walk worthy of our calling, make that decision. It's a tough thing. Maybe it's just tough for me, but with everything we face here, I don't like the way I am sometimes. I'm not looking for pity. I'm just looking to say, hey, you know, if you feel like I do, well, you're not alone. And so I thank you for being here. It's an honor and a privilege. It really is. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, Christ Jesus, amen.